especially there with the earthquake victims. We were in that, seeing all the devastation that they're still going through. And let me tell you, everyone that we talked to appreciated all the support and all the effort that's been put forth to send relief there. And we want to just tell every one of you we appreciate it. Everything that was sent by helping with the security that they were having issues with because of the Constitution being written and all of the churches that were being burned. All of that, it was just a big blessing to them. The camera that was purchased and given so they can keep good documentation of all the things that they're doing with the outreach program of feeding, building the temporary housing, and also the keyboard that was we had this toted this 65-pound keyboard around the airport, and we were glad to deliver it. Yes. Amen. But we got there, and when we got there, they were playing on a keyboard that was half the keys weren't even working. But we knew the Lord had dealt with us about going there. The Lord used that to minister to different people who were in the ministry there. And we'll get a chance to show all of that to you. But from Nepal, all those there, Pastor KB sent a message. We let him know that we were home. And he just said, tell the church family there that he loves y'all and he appreciates the fact that y'all remember in Nepal. So take a look at this slideshow. Let it bless you. It's a little longer than we wanted it to be, but maybe you can just look at the photos and let them speak to you as they did us, as we seen it in real time. Amen? Let's try it.
it up, every voice for the same.
Bow.
Praise God. Well, appreciate you for allowing us to show that to you, just to kind of give you a feel for what we've been doing for the past 3 weeks. The reason we go for so long is because it's a long way away, and you want to get as much done as possible when you're there. But I can tell you it was a very fruitful trip. Many people were ministered to. There were many miracles and salvations, and we're just so thankful of that. And we was able to spend some time with those that went through the earthquake, Pastor Bim and his church. All that church is repaired already. The other church that we was talking about in Sindapachalk District that we had helped build, that church has been repaired. Remember that we talked about the chicken farm that we had helped put in and who's raising. This is what gives the income to the pastors. It was raising 300 chickens. When the landslide came down from the earthquake, it just demolished it all. But that's all back. Everything's back up. And I have photos of all of that to show you. But all that's back up and running. They're back continuing to do the things that God has called them to do. And that's what's so exciting about going there. It was one area we did go, and we met with the leaders. That was our latter part of the trip. We was there for 4 days and met with the leaders that went through most of the devastation. And I was able to share with them. I mean, you know, we've been through some stuff. And we've been fortunate to be able to come back. But the Lord began to share with them how important it is to don't lose sight of the vision that God has put in your heart. From the time he put it there, he means what he says. And so I gave him the same verse God gave me, same passage. And I sat there and I watched all these leaders sit there and just wept as I began to read the Word of God. And that wasn't because I was there reading it. It was because it was the Word of God. I mean, you know, it doesn't change. I don't care what continent you're on. Doesn't matter if you're on the other side of the world. He's the same God. And he said it. And I begin to share with them what God said. And as I begin to read these, and I begin to see these leaders weep, because they would, I mean, you know, when you go through a devastation like that, after you feel like you put all your heart and effort into it, we were here 18 years. We just had finished building this brand new building, and we figured, you know what, we're on our way. And then all of a sudden, it's gone. That make you think a little bit. But how many know what God will do? He'll direct you right back to his word. And so in life, people go through different things. And there's not, I don't think I can say there's probably everybody in here has got a testimony. There's probably a testimony in every seat here. Somebody's been through stuff and you've been. But let me tell you what's so encouraging about God's word. When he said he's going to do something, doesn't make no difference how bad it looks. He will do what he said. And that's what I begin to share with them. And we're living examples of it. It's, you know, we could still be sitting around trying to figure it out, or we can just take God's lead. But I remember the Lord said this to me. He said, position is everything. Don't give your spot up for nothing and for no reason. How many has ever heard me say that? I've said that over and over and over again. You know what I find today? I find especially in America where we live, people give up easy. They give up very easy. God will send them to a work. They'll begin to work in that work. And if there's a little bump, just a little bump, they figure, but I got to go somewhere there's no bumps. Everybody's looking for no trouble, no situations, no circumstances. And they figure we could just drive down the road and turn into another work somewhere and everything's going to be fine. Well, I want to tell you, it doesn't work like that. There's always going to be something that, and it's what shapes us. It's what makes us. You never know you have faith until you've been in a good fight. Amen? And that's what's important about God. So I've seen these leaders just begin to get encouraged when I told them, I said, when you got to get to a place. And I read to him in Genesis the way the Lord dealt with me when we went. I read to him how Jacob, he had some trouble in his life. His own family, his brother was out to kill him, and he just couldn't get it together. And instead of being in a spot where he can bloom and blossom and plant himself and begin to grow, he was like a nomad. He was wandering around. But when he got to the place, and he realized, I can't go no more. I got to put my faith in God. He took a stone. How many know that You don't use stones for pillows. How many know that? You don't use stones for pillows. Everybody, if I'm going to go to bed, I want to look for me a soft pillow, right? If I'm going to relax, I want to relax on a soft pillow. But sometimes it's not a soft pillow that's in your life. Sometimes it's a stone. But if it's God, you can take the stone and relax. And that's what happened to Jacob. So what happens when you relax? You dream. Is anybody ready to dream a little bit? I said to these pastors, I said, you dream. I said, what some of you need to do is you need to have yourself another dream.
Hallelujah.
And what I began, that's what I had to do. I remember when Pastor Ben messaged us, he said, Pastor Jesse, please come. Please come because our leaders are discouraged. They're ready to give up. Every mountain that they go around, there's another landslide and a whole village that's taken out. He said, please come. I remember that day when we flew into Kathmandu, and the first person I saw was Pastor Bim standing there with a big old grin on his face. And I said to him, I said, have you been here long? He said, I've been sitting here an hour and a half. And I kept looking at every plane that flew in. I just knew y'all were coming. Now, let me tell you, we couldn't bring them a bunch of financial aid. And many times we think that that's the answer. And it does help. And it does encourage them. But it's not lasting. What lasts, no matter when we leave and fly back to U.S., is the Word of God. It's what He said that He would do. And I told him, I said, when you open the Bible and you can take your situation, even though it seems like it's difficult, but if you'll take that stone, no matter how hard it is, and lay down and relax, you'll dream. You might be here today. Maybe you need to dream again because you've been going through it. Well, today is your day just to relax in the goodness of God. And I begin to share with him when Jacob dreamed, he saw a ladder. How many know God wants to put a ladder in your life? Now, ladders do two things. A ladder can take you from the lowest spot in your life and one rung at a time get you to a place you never dreamed you could be. You look up and see it, but there's no ladder in your life. But when you relax in God, He'll give you a dream. And he saw a ladder. And on that ladder, he saw angels ascending and descending. The other thing that a ladder does is allows you to go up to receive what God has for you, and it also allows you to come back down to distribute that. Does anybody want to be a distributor? I mean, you know, when I think about these things, it just amazes me. And as I begin to share with them, I said, not only do they ascend and descend, but here's my favorite part. And all the leaders, they were there just sitting down, some on the floor, some in seats. And they said, this is my favorite part of all of it, the Lord Himself. I don't know if that does anything for you, but it does a whole lot for me. You remember one time he told Moses, he said, listen, I'm going to go ahead and do what I said I would do, but I won't go with you. I'm going to send my angel before you. And what did Moses say? He said, God, if you're not going, I don't want to go. I don't know. I'm going to tell you, that does something for God. You might not think it does, but that does something for God. If you don't go, God, I don't want to go. And that's what God wants us to be able to tell Him. I want, Lord, wherever it is you want me to go, I want to go. If you're going, I'm going. And I began to share with them that the Lord himself stood there above that ladder. And it was from that moment on that Jacob got planted and he began to bloom and blossom. And that's where we have all of the tribes that come from. How many thank God that God can take a situation, no matter how difficult it is, and he can change it and turn it around. And we're living proof of that. Let me tell you, you can look around, and after you go through a tragedy, there's all sorts of different excuses you can use that are justify you doing something else. When a whole hillside comes down, there's no sense in going back and rebuilding. I mean, some of these places, they're not even excavating for bodies anymore. They're just making them a burial site. Only those areas where there were a lot of travelers and trekkers that were in out of Europe where they're excavating. No, but you see these sites, they're making them burial grounds. Thousands of people are still unaccounted for. And Pastor Bim said that he's seeing that his people were getting very discouraged. But I want to tell you that I believe if they'll take heed to, and I told them that, take heed to the word of God, look to him. He's the strength. He's your source. He'll help you. We're here just for a little while, and we want to do whatever we can while we're here, but we're going to be going home. But the word of God is an everlasting word, and it'll always do what it said it would do. And so we begin to share that with them and seeing the hand of the Lord just touch their lives, and we're so thankful. Let me tell you, at the beginning of the slide, we had a thank you there, and we want to thank every one of you for allowing us to be able to go, and all the people that are friends of ours that supported and helped us be able to go, and all the wonderful gifts that were sent there. The Lord... We was able to bring this keyboard, and I want to explain something about the keyboard. The keyboard was not just we just thought about it. We're going to buy a keyboard and send it over there to them. That was not the case. This was something that God had dealt with me and Charlotte about concerning their keyboard player that was there. And this was Pastor KB's son, and he had come to the United States a while back. And we had found out about it. Pastor KB had messaged me and said, hey, my son's in the United States. We were shocked. I mean, usually we know way in advance. I mean, he said he's there. Can you help pick him up? And he's been there. And so we knew automatically something wasn't right. Something was wrong. And so we went and did what he had asked us to do, picked him up, brought him here. He was here for a few days with us. And we could tell there was something not... quite right. And we just begin to pray. We begin to pray and seek the Lord concerning that. And then we knew the Lord had dealt with us that we would do buy the keyboard because we knew he was very talented. He's a very talented young man. He was pastoring one of the churches there in his dad's ministry. How many of you know the devil's a liar and there's no truth in him, and he'll do everything he can to try to disrupt what God has purposed and planned. Doesn't matter what country you're in. And we don't realize that these countries, even though the work of God is moving mightily. We're talking about just a little over 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago now, they started with four people. Now there's over 160 churches. About 20,000 people are in those churches. I'm talking about God is moving in Nepal. I'm talking about a move of God like we've never seen, especially in the Thoru tribe that we've seen. Now, some of those pictures you've seen on unreached people groups, that's in a place called Jumla. It was our first time going there. As a matter of fact, it was Pastor David and him's first time going up there. A very high altitude, very rough terrain. And let me tell you, we've seen the hand of God just move in these remote areas. And that's because God is reaching out to the lost. If we'll just go and do what God wants us to do, he'll use you. And so we see these things. But in this keyboard situation, as we were traveling over there, I opened my Bible up, and we had long travels. One of our legs on the flight was 14 hours. And so you have a lot of time on a 14-hour flight. So I'm flipping through, and I'm just meditating on the things that God. I said, God, what's the word? Where's your word? I know what it's in my mind, but where's your word at? Show me in the scripture. Because let me tell you, we can say a lot of things, but where can we find it in the Scripture? That's what's going to last. And so I asked him, I said, God, I know I need to say something, but you got to give me a word on this. And so I began to flip through the Scripture and begin to meditate on the things of the Lord. And the Lord led me to Jeremiah and began to read there concerning the situation that we were about to go into. And immediately, it was one of the first things we did. We delivered the keyboard, had everybody come around. We welcomed everybody. We went right into doing ministry right away. We went to a baby dedication, of all things, you know, naming of a baby, because that's what they do there. They call the pastors in, and they have a few names that's put out, and then they seek the Lord and pray the baby's name. They anoint the baby, pray for the baby. And then we went into one of the remote areas and went to church there. And just things started day after day after day. There was something to do. But prior to us leaving to fly out again to go to Joomla, I knew that we had to take care of this situation. So I brought in Pastor KB and Sushila and his son and his wife. And we had a meeting together. And I knelt down and opened my Bible. And I said, I'm here. If I don't do anything else, this word has to go forth. And I begin to read from the book of Jeremiah. And I begin to share what God has spoke to us concerning their son, who's married with a child and going to have another child in about 2 weeks. And I just read the verse of Scripture. I said, I'm going to read this out of the Bible. This is a prophetic word to the children of Israel, but I believe it applies to this situation. I want you to just hear these words. I read it. I stopped reading what the Lord told me to read, and Pastor KB stood up and began to weep. And he said, I know that God sent you here to speak these words. He said, I also know that nobody else wanted to say it, but because it was a hard thing to say. It was not easy. That's why I just like reading it. It's a whole lot easier if I'm just reading it. Yeah. So I read it, but I warned his son about sniffing the wind. You got to be careful that you don't sniff the wind when you're in heat. Because something happened to you that you can't get rid of. Now, I'm saying these things because God said them to me based on his word. And they begin to weep. And Pastor KB said, I know nobody would have come said that word unless God had sent you to send that. And we received that word. And we're going to make those corrections. I said to him, I said, you didn't pick the family that God put you in. That was God's choice. Now, you're not only a son of this man and this woman, but you're a son of this ministry. And right when it's about to bloom, it doesn't matter what country you're in. The devil's still the devil. How many understand that? And he was about to try everything he could to separate that ministry to cause the son to go out and start his own work. And I said to him, and I read to him straight out of the King James Bible, because that's the one I had with me. And it says there, and it's just very blunt, it says, don't be a wild ass. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yes, amen. And I said, I don't know how you want to take that, but I'm telling it to you literally. Mm-hmm. I said, because you will jeopardize your whole family, mm-hmm. and the enemy is all he's trying to do is separate you. Mm-hmm. Now, I said, this keyboard is not going to fix it. Even though folks put their hearts together and their money together and we purchased it and brought it there, that's not going to fix it. What's going to fix it is repentance and going back and do with the work that God has called you to do. And so I want to tell you, these are the type of things that were going on while we were there. And I could tell you, you could see the hand of God in it. When we left, I'll show you. I have a little video when we left. I mean, standing there and you can see the joy of the Lord on his face. And you can tell that there's a work going on. I don't believe it's a finished work, but I believe the work is started and God's going to repair that, mend that. And up to that point, he wasn't even playing anymore. He wasn't pastoring in church anymore. And after that, the word of the Lord, and he agreed to the word of the Lord, then he was allowed to play that keyboard that we went for the next Sunday. And I'd left that up to his father. That was not my business. I just delivered the word of the Lord. But I want to tell you, you could tell something happened. When the moment they started playing, that whole church just began to explode. Over 1,000 people in that first service that we had, and that worship began, and people began to be touched by God. Let me tell you, the enemy, what he wants to do, he don't care who it is. It might be you. It doesn't make no difference who it is. It could be you. He'll use anybody who will give themselves over to him. And and it starts with thoughts you think, and that's what happened. He started thinking, I can do this. Why am I second? Why can't I have my own ministry? Why can't I have my own church? So even in third world countries, we see this stuff happening. So there's no exemption. The devil uses the same tricks and the same arsenal, same thing no matter where you go, and he's trying to just destroy what God has established. But I mean, you know, God is good to us. Amen? So I'm going to talk to you just a little bit. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time because there was a lot of stuff, that, especially what I show in the slideshow. But I'm going to talk to you about how God can speak to you and deal with you no matter where you are. In 2000, what was our first? 2010. In 2010, we were in Nepal, and we just got finished baptizing. These baptisms are amazing. You just go and you don't stop. And there's many people that's there, and so there's a lot of pastors there that are helping these local churches. And what they do, they bring all of the new converts. They've already taught them about the principles of God, and then we have the baptism service. Well, and the one that I showed some of the photos to, there was 400 people standing there to be baptized. And so you don't stop. You're just going through baptizing people. And our first time we was there, we were baptizing in one time 800 people. So it's no break. You're just going. And if you feel like your back won't go down again, you step out and another guy steps in and it just keeps going. But there's people who are worshiping. There's miracles happening the entire time. After it's all said and done, you go and start talking to people. And we all sorts of miracles and people's being healed and deliverances are taking place in these particular baptisms. Well, when it was all over, I had been there, and we had been going through our own ordeal with this. He said, within 7 years, you'll be unrecognizable. And we know we had come to some times in our lives. This is 2010. The storm had come in 2005. So we was right in the midst of this. Well, anyway, after the baptism, I was standing there, and I had just been meditating on the things of God, and I didn't only go there to be a blessing, but I went to receive. We have to remember, you got to be willing to, no matter where you are, be willing to receive from God. And I'd been asking the Lord, I said, God, I need a word from you. I need a fresh word from you. Well, I was standing there, and where we're standing is on the Rapti River there. And it's stones. There's literally thousands and tens of thousands of stones on this river. And you walk over these stones, you go out into the water, you're baptizing, everybody's standing there. And that's what you're standing on, these stones. And if you've seen the photos in the back, there's a stone back there. And it's one of the stones that I picked up and I brought it back to the U.S. I picked that stone up and I looked at it. And the Lord spoke these words to me in my spirit. He says, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to refresh you. It's going to be a new beginning. How many of you know in Luke, he says, when the Pharisee says, tell these folks to quit speaking and praising you. What did he say? He said, if I tell them to quit, the stones will do what? The stones will cry out. How many of you know stones can cry out? Now y'all looking at me funny. Well, who was speaking there? Who was speaking when he said that? That was Jesus speaking. He said the stones cry out. I'm going to go with Jesus on this. Amen? He said they'll cry out. If I tell them to quit, the stones will cry out. Well, that day the stone was crying out to me. And the Lord gave me a message. I have it listed back there, and you've heard it, and I've went over it, and I've done a whole presentation on it, on the number 10. How many know the 10 is the new cycle? How many thank God for a new cycle? And so I'm thinking, you know what? That's once in a lifetime event for me. You know, I'm excited. I've carried that stone all over this country. I've told that story in all sorts of different churches and groups of people because it meant so much to me. And that stone, if I would have took a saw and cut every line on that stone, I'd have had 10 pieces. And there was a prophetic dream of 10 pieces of shrimp that it would be connected to Burris. And here we are in another country for the first time. And the Lord speaks to me through a stone with the number 10. And so I thank God for it. I appreciated him. We've been back since that event, had more baptisms. There were a lot of stones. Nothing's crying out to me. But this time, we're there, and we finished the baptism, and I'm walking. And Charlotte says, well, I want to get one of these little stones to bring to Philip. I said, well, pick what you're going to do. There's tens of thousands of them. You know, which one you want. There they are. Well, she picked up, her selection of stones and mine are different. Everybody's got a different, you're looking, you're seeing what you want. And so she picks up the one she picks up. She said, what about these? And yeah, that's fine. But I didn't really mean that. What I meant was, that's not a good stone. She says, well, she wants to know how you know what's a good stone. Because the stones I pick up, I want them to cry out to me. So she said, you get one? I said, I don't need one. Plus, there's more weight in the luggage coming back. I got my stone, and she brought it. By the way, she brought it to Nepal. One of the slide pictures, that was us holding it. And just, again, thanking God for his goodness because that spoke volumes to us. When we hit our 10th year, when we had our supernatural breakthrough in our mission work here that God has us reaching out into the Amish community. On our 10th year, literally, we was in an Amish basement doing a three-night meeting, and God was reminded me of that stone. He said, you remember that? Because we serve an incredible God. So anyway, I'm done decided. I'm not getting a stone. My wife's got hers. And so I'm walking away like that. And I look. And I stopped. And I said, no way. And I got it right here. Wrapped up in this napkin. Can everybody see this? I have it right here. And so it made it all the way back from Nepal, wrapped in a rag. And the Lord spoke to me in this stone. And this was so incredible about God. Now, let me set the scene for this. Before we left, my brother-in-law had a dream. Yeah. And in his dream, he said that we were going to run into trouble. Yeah. He saw in the dream that I was taken, and I was put in the back of a truck by the police, and we didn't come back for 30 days. We were kept over there. Well, we were in Joomla. Power God was moving. We was out there helping with the school for the blind and looking at some of the needs they had so we can come back and raise some funds to help that get that school up and running so they'll have running water and clean water and all that. Well, anyway, We were getting ready to leave from Joomla. My wife had been sick for 3 days. She was out. She had altitude sickness. And we knew we had stuff with us, and we weren't used to taking it. And I think she missed a day of taking it. And once you get altitude sickness, the only thing helps you is to come down. Well, we were in Joomla. So we wasn't coming down anytime soon. It took us 3 hours to get there. We went by Jeep, and then we trekked in the rest of the way. So we knew we wasn't coming down. So I said, well, we just prayed over God. And we knew you were praying. We knew you were praying. So for 3 days, she couldn't eat. And she said she felt like she was seasick twice, whatever that means. Okay? Now, if you've been seasick, maybe you know what that means. So anyway, she wasn't feeling good. Pastor Cecilia was worrying about her. She said, you know, you already started thin. That's how she said it. You started thin and you're getting thinner. So anyway, I don't know if she'd have ate if wouldn't have been sick. We were in Joomla. So anyway, so we about to leave and we get a phone call that our flight may be canceled. Now we have 3 hours back in the Jeep. We're going to trek down, meet the Jeep, 3 hours back. But then there is a strike. And a strike, what it means in Nepal, because the Constitution's written, it was voted on, and they were going to vote in a new prime minister for Nepal. The prime minister was not one that everybody liked. India didn't like the prime minister, so they had an uprising in Nepal, and they called a strike. When they call a strike, that means no vehicles on the road. They will burn your vehicle. They will burn it right there. Police are standing there with their guns, and it just goes into chaos. So we said, well, what we'll do is we're going to leave early. So we got up early, early in the morning, and we trekked down with lights. In the Jeep, we could see the lights up on the next. So we trekked down in the valley, back up the hill. We could see our Jeep with the lights, and he's waiting on us. So we get loaded up, and we get on the road at 4 in the morning. And we're going to beat folks from getting up because they strike, but they strike during the daylight hours. And they had the bus blocking the road, but plans were to go around it. But we get almost to where the block is, and the police come up and stop our vehicle, and they jump out, and they are irate, telling us to get out these vehicles. They're commandeering our vehicle. Well, we're going to be in trouble. If you take our vehicle, we got all our luggage on top. So the pastor, KB, said, don't move. So we're sitting there. Nobody get out. Okay, they got guns. And they saying for us to get out. He said, nobody move. Just sit. So they went on and on and on and on and on and talked, and it took a while. And I sent like a little short video. I was kind of videoing like that. You know, so nobody would see. I took a few pictures and I sent them to you. Well, what happened when my brother-in-law had the dream, he said, I hate to tell you this. Maybe you don't want to tell everybody. So what I did, I said, well, Lord, that's a warning to us. We're going to pray. We got some details now. We prayed that when the event happens, because it was shown that it would happen, that the Lord, you'll turn it around for our good. We're here to do your work. And if God, you see to it that what we need to go through is whatever it is, we're going to do that. But we're going to put our trust in you. But we pray that whatever was seen, you turn it around for our good. So we get to this police, and they have prisoners there, and there's people with handcuffs on. There's guys with AKs. They're all over, and it's just we can't understand anything they're saying. We're just keeping our mouths shut, and we're just praying. God, you showed us this event in a dream. We knew it in advance. We prayed, and we know we trust you. So finally, they made us all get back in, and they said, follow us. So we followed the cop, this truck. Then they stopped and said, get out. So we get out. They said, we're taking your bags. So they take our bags. And then here's where it's very interesting. The very thing that was seen, I'm getting in the back of this vehicle between two guys with AK-47s. Yeah. And I said, well, that's that dream. Uh-huh. Now, God, you got to do something from here on. That's up to you. No matter what it is, we're going to put our trust in you. So I asked Mr. KB, I said, where are they taking us? He said, well, they said they're going to take us past the riot through a secret way. So not only did we get a ride with the cops, when they pulled up, their front windshield was busted. I'm like, okay, they need to fix their windshield. I mean, it's got big where stones were thrown into the windshield. They said, that just happened when they were coming through the riot. So I thought, okay, they're throwing stones at the cops. They're going to kill us. Right? Yeah. If they don't care about the cops who's got guns, all we got is luggage. We're in trouble. So the cop said, no, you don't even have to see them people. We're taking you, and we're going to bring you all the way. We got a hotel. We're going to set you in a hotel, and then you'll be able to walk the rest of the way to the airport. Well, how many know God worked it out? Well, we didn't have to. We got to the hotel. They had two rooms there. We had food to eat, and another vehicle come and picked us up and brought us right to our plane. But the scene that I showed you, that I wanted you to see, is we did have that encounter, but God. Everybody say, but God. But God turned it around. Now, we get back, and we go to the baptism. And then after the baptism, I look down of all the stones. Now, there's lots of them. There's lots of them. But how many know I'm looking for something to cry out to me, something to speak to me? Well, I found this stone. It doesn't appear to be a real pretty stone. How many see that? But I noticed it was cracked. Does everybody see that? I noticed it was cracked. And so I picked it up. All the pieces were there. I picked it up and I held it in my hand. And I said, God, don't tell me. One. Two. Three, four, five. He said, my grace is going to keep you. And I said, God, I thank you for your grace. How many of those stones can cry out? My grace. Now, there were thousands of stones there, but I'm glad I found this one. It doesn't make no difference how many pieces your life may be in difficult positions. But I want you to know God's grace is sufficient. How many know that his grace is sufficient? And so when I seen this, it was just something about it. Because I didn't held it, and you could put it all back together. No matter how many pieces, God's grace is sufficient. And so I was reminded. I was reminded of the message that we had just prior to us going. How many remember this message here? Yeah. This series, The Grace Effect. And how I made a statement. And this is the statement the Lord reminded me of, and I want to leave this statement with you today. God's grace is Him loving us. God's grace is Him loving us. And obedience is us loving Him. Does anybody want that in your life? I couldn't do nothing for grace. I couldn't do a thing. When you're sitting between two guys with AKs, you can't do anything but keep your mouth shut. But God, grace. He protects us. He watches over us. What does God expect from us? Obey. That's how you love Him back. You appreciate Him so much for His grace, you want to love Him back. And so I want to encourage you today. I want you to be encouraged, all of you here. You never know what impact you'll have on somebody's life. You know, Eric, you just never know. That's it, never. Folks will just load up in their vehicles and come from another state. And they just want to go and be a blessing to somebody. You never know who that one person you meet, that one word you say, the one stroke of a paintbrush that will affect somebody's life forever. You never, ever know. But you know what you see on people's life? You see God's grace. There were people that we met that never heard the name of Jesus on this trip. And I saw grace on them. There was nothing they could do to get grace. It was a free gift from God. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And all we were there to teach them is, now that you know, obey. He knows how to love us. do we want to really love him? And the way you love God is you obey him. And sometimes obedience is not easy. That's why you have to have faith. Sometimes obedience is crazy. You mean you want me to do that, Lord? You mean you want me to go there, Lord? You mean you want me to do this or that or give up this or say this? Is that what you want? And all God wants us to do is obey him. Because when you do, that's you loving him. And he said in the word, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and with all your strength. How many want to love him today? Well, I want to tell you, I am so thankful for all of you. It's so good to be back home. You know, we love going, but I can tell you, about when that third week hit, man, we were so ready to get back home. But we knew it wasn't just a short trip. But we had great flights coming back. Everything went well. And we didn't have any delays or anything. Just quick flights. And we had no layovers. We had just enough time to go to the next flight in Doha. It was just, everything went well. I think we made it back into Louisiana in 28 hours. That was pretty fast from Nepal. So that was our quickest trip ever. And so we're so thankful for that. And so we got back home, still feeling a little, you know, when Miss Charlotte gets up at 3 in the morning and makes coffee, we still got jet lag. I mean, I'm sitting there, but I was already up. She says, she comes walking out, you want coffee? I said, it ain't over, is it? Nope. Because Miss Charlotte don't get up for 3 o'clock for nothing. But she hadn't figured out yet. We back. Maybe after tonight. I told her last night, you got to stay up. You got to push yourself to stay up. Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't know if she heard everything I said. But we're just thankful to be back. And I want you to share this. Share it with somebody. Send a message to somebody. Let somebody know. This is the word of the Lord today. My grace is sufficient for you. No matter where you are, what you're going through, what's the situation you have, no matter how many pieces you feel like your life has been broken into, God can put it back together. And for me to find that and just receive that, I said, Lord, I thank you for your goodness. You've been so good to us. And we had a peace the entire trip because we knew God had given us a warning. And we prayed over it, and God had given us the clearance to go. We left that up to the Lord from the entire time. And so I want to tell you again, thank you, every one of you, for what you did as far as praying and fasting and all your giving in order for us to go and be a blessing there in Nepal. Let's stand together. I just want to pray, and we pray together today, that God, whatever it is you want to do in our life to use us, we've been given a new, a fresh opportunity. Today is a great day, absolute incredible day God has given us to come together and spend some time with Him. And then tomorrow, we'll step out into another field. You know, just a few days ago, we were on a foreign field. But never lose sight that on this field, in this country we call the United States of America, there's a great need. There's never been a better time for the church to be the church than right now. We live in some very trying times, very difficult times. There's never been a better time for the church to shine than right now. And that's what I told Pastor Bim. I said, if there's one thing I want you to remember these words, and I told his leaders, there's never been a better time to be the church when you're in a crisis. The church shouldn't be fumbling around and figuring it out in the dark. We have the light of the Word of God. David said, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And I'm so thankful that God gave us understanding and clarity. When you've been through something you've never been through before, it has a lot of uncertainties. But if you were following God when you got there, your needs is His responsibility, and He will do what He said. And I want you to know that in our own hometown, in our place that we call America, there's very trying times that are going on. Some people are losing heart. Some people is being swindled to believe something that has no truth in it. But there's never been a better time for the church than right now. It's not a time to be discouraged, but it's a time to receive a word from the Lord. And that word is His grace is sufficient. No matter what we go through, what we face, we have to put our faith in God. Trust Him. So why don't you let God use you? Let this week be a great week for you to speak into somebody's life, touch somebody's life by the example that you can show. We're the light of the world, salt of the earth. Should we take that light and hide it? No, it should be seen. If the salt has no ability to give flavor, what good is it for? He said it'd be trodden under the foot of men. But I want to encourage you today that the grace of God, that God's favor on our life, His loving us, should spark you and cause a flame, a burst inside of you to say, "I want to obey Him and do what He's called me to do." And I want to thank every one of you here today, that have said yes to the Lord. Because I want to tell you, listen to this careful. On the other side of yes is where the blessings of the Lord are. On the other side of yes. I thank God for this group here today saying yes. I want you to hear this. On the other side of your yes, I'll go. The blessings of the Lord. It's right there for your taking. On the other side of yes, tell the Lord this week, "Yes, Lord. Yes, I'll do that. Yes, I'll say that. Yes, I'll be a part of this. Yes, Lord, I'll do whatever it is you want me to do." Father, I thank you for every person that's here today. You're so amazing. You've been so good to me. I'm so thankful. God, I am so thankful. You've been so amazing in my life. I think about my mistakes and my faults and failures. And when I think about them and I think about your goodness in my life, it just makes me know how much you love me. And God, in return, I want to obey you. When I was gripped by fear and didn't know if I wanted to say yes or not, I thought about your grace and it pushed me to say yes, Lord. I thank you, God, that you remind us often of how incredible you are, that you would give us your only Son, that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, came and died for our sins. He was buried in 3 days. He rose again, ascended to the Father, and now He maketh intercession for us. I want to thank you for that. I thank you for every person that is here today. Those that have come, no matter what their life is going through, no matter what their situation is. And God, there's no doubt there's somebody. Maybe they're hurting. There's some difficult times they're going through. God, we saw that. We've seen for the last 3 weeks, we saw people going through some difficult times. Maybe there's someone here going through difficult times, but we know this, your grace is sufficient. No matter what we face, Paul was going through it. He was going through it. It was difficult for these. He sought you for it. But you just let him know, my grace is sufficient. Father, I thank you for the grace that you've bestowed upon all of us. I pray for each person that is in this place today. God, that we can experience and realize that you've loved us so much and you continue to love us on a daily basis. Help us. Help us. Show us, direct us in your word that we can in turn love you back. And I thank you, Lord, for every person that's here. I pray for them. I pray for their families. I pray for their bodies right now. Any type of physical attack from the enemy, God, I thank you that down to the cellular level, the joint and the marrow, we thank you, Lord, that you're touching them. For by his stripes, we are healed. And we thank you for that. So, Father, all over this room right now, we thank you for your undergirding. We thank you for the anointing that you have put on our lives and through your word that we can continue to do what you called us to do. We pray, Lord, that each one here, as they go forth to do that which you've called them to do this week, that your hand of blessings will be upon them. God, insight, clarity, and God, speak to them by your word. As they have a devotion before you, Lord, it will become so real. And they'll go and do that which you've called them to do. We love you for it. We thank you. We honor you. Lord, we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.